and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fall. It's
yes.
election season.
Yes.
I think everybody's probably ready to go ahead and get this one in the books. It's been a long haul, at least the presidential election. And we've talked about that in some previous episodes. But, you know, all of this has been swirling about elections and who gets into office and leaders had me thinking about leadership. Mm. And what I thought back mm-hmm. to was a lecture that I heard when I was in college
yep.
many moons ago. And the person giving the lecture was from the military world. And he was making the argument that leaders are born. And that you can't really train or teach someone to be an effective leader, that it's something, it's a package of skills and a personality that someone is born with, and either you have it or you don't. And a lot of people in the audience were asking him questions and challenging him and saying, sure, you can learn, or you can't, yes, you can. Mm-hmm. So it was a fascinating presentation, but I'm wondering, as an educator and someone who's around, you know, people who want to further their education and perhaps take on leadership roles, you know, globally, what you think about teaching leadership, if it's something that can be taught?
It's an interesting question. And of course, you know, the study of leadership, which is a different thing than teaching people to be leaders, is a fairly new field that you know, has taken off in the 20th century. It's interesting. First of all, I need to preface this by saying I truly am not an expert in the field of leadership as a discipline or in what it takes to be, you know, a leader, even though I am one.
I was going to say, it's interesting, though. You are a leader because you're right. president of a university. So, you know, is there a school where presidents of universities go before they take their jobs?
Do you know the answer to that question is yes, that there is a program. It's out of the Harvard extension program, where it's called the New President's School. And it's kind of a canonical thing that, you know, presidents of kind of the big universities and colleges will go for, and I forgot how long it was now. It was 10 days, no, maybe a week or long or something. It was a week. And I went, and it was very interesting. It was a very nuts and bolts kind of thing about leading in higher education. It was very focused on higher education, and it was really effective. And it also allowed you to meet other new and upcoming leaders, and I think that was also a great resource. So, you know, can you train people? Can you take this course and you become a better leader? I think that there are a couple of things here. So I'll give you – I'm going to punt and say yes and no. I mean,
oh, good.
Maybe there is something to kind of the personality and whether you – can make difficult decisions and can kind of not lose your way and because there's lots of distract when you're leading, you're being distracted by everything and you have to kind of keep a focus and so maybe some of that is but I do believe, first of all, there's different types of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can, first of all, the most important type of leadership is leading yourself. Everyone is a leader because you are leading your life. I mean, isn't that we talk about, you know, people leading a life. So you have to lead. You have to, you know, you're part of a family. How do you lead that? What's your contribution there? And then there are, you know, larger and larger leadership roles that one can take within their community, within the state, or within a complex organization, or, you know, the country. You're talking about November. So I think there are different types of leadership, but there are things that I think can make us better no matter what level of leadership we are. So we're all leaders. So we're all in this together. One of the things that I think is interesting to think about is softness.
Softness.
And, you know, you're talking about the election season and you've got to have grit.
And we've talked about that before when we've talked about teaching intangibles. Grit is one of the ones that
exactly.
we've talked about.
And you have to have the hide of a rhinoceros or an elephant, which is just that nothing can really kind of get in and bother you. And one of the things that we can teach is that we are human beings and having emotional responses to issues can be very helpful. It can bring out new insights. It can bring out new ideas. It can bring out epiphanies, and it can move us forward. But the emotion itself is not always the end. That, in fact, we also have to be kind of thinking beyond that. You know, what is the fact? So not just how I feel about a particular tweet, But is it true or not? And what does it mean? And do I understand its meaning and whatnot? These are the kind of issues that I think leaders have to be able to embrace. It's not just having solely an emotional response. There has to be empathy. You have to be able to understand and to kind of imagine what issues are like from different vantage points and different perspectives and where people come from and what that means. But on the other hand, you can't give in to just, so if you get really mad at me, and say, you know, oh, Ed, you know, I'm really, really mad and I hate this or that. And I need to understand that before I act on it as a leader. And I think that we need to teach people that that is effective leadership, is to actually take the steps to understand what reality is and not be offended and feel, you know, if you attack me, I have to understand why you're attacking me and try to think through that rather than just attack you back and just have that kind of emotional response. And so I think, you know, there are things that we can offer. And I think education does some of that to a good extent, you know, thinking about diverse perspectives and different ideas. It can be done, but I think that there are different levels of leadership and we have to kind of think about how people are going to lead.
Well, and it's interesting because if you think about institutions of higher education, Southwestern certainly being one of them, you know, often in their materials, they will say, you know, we're training the future leaders of, you know, corporate America and nonprofits and education and global leaders. They'll say that we're training future leaders, but I doubt, you know, if you look through the course catalog, you would see Leadership 101, How to Manage People, Leadership, you know, 102. It's not specifically, you know, you can, I'm sure, find courses about
right.
How to lead, but places that often say they're training leaders are training them in those more intangible qualities, not in the nuts and bolts part.
Well, and as you experienced as an undergraduate, I mean, it's a very controversial thing that remains to this day. I mean, people do say, well, maybe leadership studies is something that we shouldn't be thinking too much about or given too much credence in. I don't know what the answer is. Again, I'm not an expert, but I will say that, for example, in our curriculum at Southwestern, We have those elements, but it's not just in a course called leadership per se. But if you look at kind of the work we do in training people to be entrepreneurs through business and economics, through communication studies, through all the fields, basically, including the natural sciences where they're doing original research and they're being leaders in their actual fields of expertise by moving the frontiers forward. It's interesting that we do incorporate that, but it's not an actual standalone course.
Right. I kind of consider you the leader of the puzzler portion of our podcast.
So thank you.
If you could put that hat on right now and introduce a new puzzler.
Oh, hold on.
Okay.
I'm putting on my... Yes, I've got one for you
okay. That
you might enjoy.
Okay.
This is a visual one, which of course is great for radio.
All right. I'm writing. I've got my sketch
there
pad
you go.
Ready.
Okay. So you have to imagine a solid 4-inch cube of wood.
Okay, there's
so
my cube.
That's very small. I would have made it much larger.
Well, It's not to scale.
A cube, you know, all the sides are the same, right? So it's going to be 4 by 4 by 4 and so forth, 4 inch. Okay. And now what we're going to do is we're going to coat the outside of the cube. I mean, so it's a wooden cube, so it's kind of like a brownish gold color, right?
Okay.
So we're going to coat the outside and paint it black. So now it's black.
Okay.
So it's black and gold, which is, of course, Southwestern's colors.
Okay.
So we paint the outside of this cube, wooden cube, black.
Okay.
Now what we do is we cut this 4 by 4 inch cube into 1 inch cubes. So we kind of cut up. Follow me?
Yeah.
So you kind of make, you know, 4 cuts, you know, in one direction and 4 cuts in the other. So now you have all these 1 by 1 inch cubes. And the question is, if you think about it, there will be cubes that, these little small cubes will be cubes that will just have one side painted black.
Oh, gosh.
There'll be, you see this coming.
I have a headache.
There'll be cubes. Oh, okay. This is not a good puzzler. There'll be cubes where 2 sides will be painted black. There'll be cubes where 3 sides will be painted black. And there'll be cubes when no sides will be painted black. And the question is, how many of each cube will there be?
Good God.
This is just a counting question. All you got to do is count. You got to visualize. So you got to use your imagination, your mind's eye. It's a 4-inch by 4-inch cube. You paint the outside black. You now cut them up into all these 1-inch by 1-inch cubes. And the question is, how many of these 1-inch by 1-inch cubes will have 3 sides painted black? How many will have 2 sides painted black? How many will have 1 side painted black? And how many will have no side painted black? I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Do this first with a 3 by 3 as a warm-up. a 3-inch by 3-inch, and then you cut them up into 1-inch cubes.
Okay.
Because then you can almost imagine like a Rubik's cube, and you can start to think about it.
Okay.
And then you have to do the 4-inch by 4-inch.
Okay.
There you go.
Wow. That's a heavy math.
No, it's not. It's just a visual. It's art. Math and art. They're one and the same.
Math and art. That's a great intersection.
Thank you very much.
It's a great intersection.
Thank you.
So getting back to our topic about leadership, you know, I know you have students, in your classes, you have students in and out of your office all the time. If a student came to you and said, you know, Dr. Berger, I'm thinking I want to maybe go into government or public service, or I maybe want to go in the corporate world, and I'm really thinking that I want to be a leader someday, what are some important either courses to take or things that you would suggest a student do at kind of an earlier stage of the game to get his or herself kind of ready?
Well, I'll tell you, it's all about the liberal arts. It's having an appreciation for a diversity of ways of looking at the world. So through a philosophical mindset, through a historical mindset, through a literary mindset, through an artistic mindset, through a psychological, socio-economic, anthropological mindset, through an economic mindset, through a scientific mindset. I mean, that is really what the liberal arts do. I think the liberal arts, in fact, implicitly trains leaders. But in terms of concrete advice, I would say a couple things. Number one, balance. Everything needs to be balanced. And I think that's some of the issues that we're seeing in today's world. You need to be mindful of all considerations and try to balance that all. It's an extreme on one side or the other is not as effective as really trying to appreciate and respect a diversity of issues. Even though you have to take an action, you might not be able to make everybody happy. I'm not suggesting that you try to make everyone happy. You have to lead. You know, a good friend of mine was the late political scientist, James McGregor Burns, who basically was the father of the field of leadership studies. I mean, he was the guy who first started studying leadership. He wrote books on JFK and RFK and LBJ and all the initial presidents and almost presidents. And I once approached him and I just said, okay, Jim, I want you to tell me the three things for kind of ensuring great leadership.
And what did he say?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I forced him to pin himself down. He said, number one, have a very clear sense of kind of mission, morals, ethics, kind of what you believe, you know, kind of what you're doing. Number two, surround yourself with the absolute best and brightest people and don't be afraid to, you know, to be not the smartest person in the room. And the third one was, so those two are kind of obvious, right? The third one I thought was really intriguing.
What was that one?
Which was not only expect conflict, but embrace conflict.
Oh.
A weak leader is one that tries to navigate around conflict. Like, you know, look, everyone's getting along. Everything is great. No. Conflict is going to happen, and you've got to kind of revel in it in some sense, and you've got to kind of like it. And that's the one that I struggle with because, you know, as a math professor, you know, the idea of conflict is not. But I understand what he's saying, that you can't try to avoid it, that you have to kind of face it head on when it happens, and that's good leadership. So three very thought-provoking things which I would share with that student.
Well, thank you, Ed, for leading us and helping us keep our brain sharp.
My
Dr.
pleasure.
Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu, and you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT News.